My name's Adam Buxton.
My name's Joe Cornish.
And we're with you for the next 1 hour, 53 minutes here on XFM. Shall I play my little opening jingle, Joe?
Please, yes, please.
That sounds interesting, let's talk about it. I always enjoy our little chats. I never know what you'll say.
Did you see that programme with that German man? He was cutting up a real corpse.
I'm not sure about that new TV show.
Have you seen that film with swearing puppets?
No, I haven't, but I hear it's great.
I'm not sure about that new TV show.
That sounds interesting, let's talk about it. Let's start talking now.
Has that been refreshed since last week with new topical subjects?
Oh, yeah. Every week. Every week it gets refreshed.
Does it? Yeah. Seriously, genuinely?
Yeah.
Really?
The German man cutting
the up... German man. I did see... Let's talk about that. I did see about 2 seconds of it. I think I saw a bit of his body having... sort of being inflated, a giblet being inflated. I switched over.
Did you?
Don't like giblets.
It was on every night, wasn't it, this week, I think? He did a different part of the anatomy, I believe. Because unless someone was winding me up, they said, did you see the one with the winkies? He pretty much dissected somebody's winky parts.
Mm.
And I didn't see that one. I kind of am glad that I didn't see it. I saw the basic one, I think maybe the first one, where they just did some guy's torso and sort of pumped fake blood into it so you could see it spreading around the arteries and everything. It was sort of interesting, but very, I mean, it was pretty amazingly gross, especially as there was just this little white towel covering the face of the corpse, who was obviously a relatively fresh corpse, and not keen on being identified, I would imagine, for fear of upsetting his relatives. You know? And then they had the nude, they had a nude model lady who was alive.
Right.
And,
they were dissecting her while she was alive?
No, she wasn't being dissected. They were projecting onto her with a video projector.
Could they just dissect her conversationally?
They could have done, but, no, they just drew on her instead.
Okay.
She was standing there in the nude, which added an extra dimension to the programme. Nude ladies, always interesting, on television, and they were drawing on her, totties.
Is this Channel 4?
Channel 4, yeah. Home of filth and sickness. Obviously. And, all in the name of education, obviously. I don't think I learned anything. Not a single thing. Except, yeah, nothing. Not a single thing.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
I just wanted to say as well that, you know, we always get pretty much a lot of things wrong in this show, week to week.
Well, last week, was last week our big boo-boo week?
Yeah, we made a few boo-boos.
Yeah.
And my boo-boo last week, amongst many, I would imagine, was saying that Cameron Crowe invented the acronym Dumbo.
Right.
Apparently, that's a legitimate acronym, and it means... district underneath the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
Right.
It's a part of
New
York.
I wouldn't worry about that.
I'm just, you know...
Has someone attacked you about that?
They didn't attack me. It was just a friendly tweak.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're just a bit pedantic.
No, that's fair enough.
Who was it?
It's Dougie.
Really? Dougie Fresh?
Dougie Fresh, yes.
Really? Dougie. Well, you know, Dougie...
I think it's right, though. People pick you up on things, don't they? Your buddies?
Yes, sometimes. So listen, you know last week you've got your new jingles?
Yeah, I got new jingles.
And you know how I promised that I'd have some jingles this week?
Have you got jingles?
I've got some jingles.
Oh, wow.
It's Jingle Wars. I've got two jingles. They've been loaded into the system. One of them is, you know, sometimes you and I talk about a subject that, and I feel I can't talk about it because I just think it's a very sort of quite boring topic that everyone else has talked about, like, say, Big Brother or I'm a Celebrity.
Are you saying, do I know when you decide not to be at all supportive of anything
I'm
talking
you
about?
Know then?
Yes.
Well, I've got a jingle for that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Does it go, I'm not going to be supportive at all
no, it
about
doesn't.
The thing you're going
no.
to talk about?
No.
How
no.
does it go then?
Well, no, it's a specific, you know, it's, well, have a listen to it.
Can we listen to it now?
Have a listen to it. It's called The Big Story.
Okay.
It's the big news story, talking about is mandatory.
The Millennium Dome.
Every single pundit
Big Brother
has already done it.
Sonny Blur.
There's nothing more to be said.
Robbie Williams.
The subject's totally dead.
Suggestion charge.
It's a tired old cliche.
David Beckham.
But we're gonna talk about it anyway.
Okay? Do you get the idea?
I think I get where you're coming from.
So what's this week's big news story? I don't know, there really isn't one this
Julian
week,
Clary being threatened with kidnap.
I don't know about that.
It's on the cover of The Sun.
Anyway, we'll play that later when the big news story, because it will crop up.
Well, there's got to be, yeah, there's... I imagine there's something
yeah,
everyone's...
Yeah, and I've got another new jingle as well for Crap Commentary Corner, but maybe we'll save that until Crap Commentary Corner, unless you want to listen to it now.
Well, no, we've got Crap Commentary Corner coming up in about 20 minutes or so, so let's play it then. And, of course, we'll be chatting about all kinds of other things. This week's face-off, Ditties in the Dot Wise, is Michael Jackson.
Adam, I've got to stop you right there, because apparently we've been issued an email by the powers that be at XFM that give us strict limitations on what we can say about Michael Jackson. Obviously, the trial kicks off next week. Everyone in the media has to be very sensitive, because it's a very attractive area when it comes to making quips. There's a lot of potential there for quips.
Mm.
I mean, he's a funny-looking fella and all that.
Yeah.
Some of his behaviour is a bit suspicious, but we have to be very careful what we
he's
say.
He's got forks instead of fingers.
Hey. So I think we should go to a record and read this email.
His best friend's a monkey called Bubbles.
Oi, come on,
he
allegedly.
He sleeps in an oxygen tank.
Easy. Careful, be
he's
careful.
He's from the moon.
That's LCD Sound System with Daft Punk is playing at my house. That's going to be out fairly soon, I think. It's the single taken from the New York Outfits self-titled debut album, which is out in the shops now. There you go. Just doing a bit of talking. You all right there, Joe?
Very well. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You depressed because we didn't score on the radars?
Not at all. We've been inspecting XFM's radar results, and Lauren Laverne, Christian O'Connell, and Jimmy Carr have all been specially selected for praise by the head of XFM. No mention of us.
Well, we're rubbish. And no one listens to us. But exciting new television this week, Joe.
Yep.
Lots of good shows coming out now that the year is sort of in full swing now. We're coming to the end of January, which is always a bit of a relief, don't you find?
Yeah.
It's like you've made it. You can start the year properly now. The whole business of Christmas has been shaken off. And this is the year. Like it or lump it. So to look forward to, first of all, tonight is another chance to see 2004 The Stupid Version, which was on BBC Three on New Year's Eve. But this is a kind of condensed version. And it's a sort of humorous, satirical review of some of the bits of TV from last year, but done in a kind of insane way. It's put together by Armando Iannucci. I contributed a couple of very small bits to it. One's quite good, one's quite bad. Don't know if they will have made it into the edited version. But the whole show is very funny, and I recommend you check it out. It's on tonight on BBC Two, 10:20. Also on Monday, we've got a new series of Look Around You.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Very excited about that. I went to the screening of the first episode last Thursday, and it was really, really good, let me tell you. It's all about music, the first show. And Kevin Eldon is in it, familiar to you from Big Train and shows like that, I would imagine. But he is amazing. He does this sort of insane song. Have you seen it?
Just say that again? I wasn't listening.
What were you doing?
I was reading a text from somebody.
Reading
it's quite a good text.
Text.
It's quite a good text. Go on.
What does the text say?
It's from a man that provided the projection equipment for the autopsy show.
Oh, yeah.
So he was there in the studio, and he says he had to stand in for the naked lady whose body they drew. I was thinking maybe we should get him to call in.
Ooh. Yeah, give us a call. Here's the number to call. I've got a new jingle for the number.
0871222 1049.
Quite bad, isn't it?
It's basic.
It's rubbish. What, I'm not even going to play it again, it's so rubbish. 0871-222-1049. Why don't you give us a call? So, yeah, Look Around You, that's on Monday at 10 p.m. on BBC Two. Very funny, check it out. Nathan Barley, that's got to be coming up fairly soon, although I'm not sure when. Do you know?
I think in a couple of weeks, because it's being trailered, isn't it? There's very weird abstract trails on Channel 4 with just people's faces and random names. They're sort of like blipverts.
Little blipverts, yeah, they're blowing your mind. But the blipverts are getting longer now, so I'm thinking that it can't be too far away. They've actually got scenes from the show in them now.
Right, and of course, for uninformed listeners, Nathan Barley is Chris Morris's new sitcom, set in a sort of fictionalised version of Hoxton.
And, and it's very secretive. No one's seen it.
Mm.
He's kept it under wraps.
Mm.
No reviews, previews, or anything like that. But it's got Julian Barrett and Noel Fielding in it. Rhys Thomas and the guy from... a lot of the guys from Garth Marenghi, who also pop up in 2004 The Stupid Version tonight. There's another little plug for that. Right. Now we've got an 80s classic for you. And this is from XTC. Senses Working Overtime. So quiet, this beginning bit, isn't it?
Yeah, you've talked over it.
I know, I've crushed the vocal.
Shh.
Sorry. Competition time quite soon.
Competition time. You could win a DVD or tickets to a show. You just never know. So sharpen up your brain and get ready to play.
Oh dear, it might become a little bit jingle heavy, our show.
No, you can never
Can you have too many jingles?
No, I don't think so. I looked it up.
Leela, the producer, is saying, yo, you can have too many jingles. It's a classic pitfall for amateur radio broadcasters.
Leela's about 18. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's a very experienced radio producer and highly sought after, not only by XFM, but by many other radio stations. But she doesn't know what she's on about.
Okay, well, we do have another jingle coming up, so we'll see whether it gets too jingle heavy. We're about to play Ditties in the Dock, and the prize this week, listeners, is extraordinary.
Crap commentary.
Crap commentary, I'm terribly sorry. The prize is extraordinary. It is an exclusive screening of M. Night Shyamalan's film, The Village. The Village. I mean, it's not a new film, but it's just come out on DVD.
But tell them where the screening is happening.
The screening is happening at the London Dungeon.
Spooky.
So, basically, when is it? It's on Monday the 31st. And you turn up at 7:30. You and what? Is it something like 9 friends? Yeah, so you, our prospective winner, can take 9 friends to the London Dungeon for 7:30 p.m. You're plied with champagne and canapes. Then at 8 p.m. you get a tour of the London Dungeon, including a Judgment Day activity. What's that?
They've
gone through all your drawers and found out secrets.
A Judgment Day activity?
And then the London Dungeon boat ride.
What the hell is a Judgment Day activity?
Who knows? That sounds a bit
frightening. Maybe it's something like...
Maybe someone gets decapitated.
Well, yeah.
Maybe one of your friends is killed in front of you.
That would be amazing.
No, Lila says that's not what happens. 8:45, the film starts with beer, wine, soft drinks, and bowl food served throughout.
Does it say bowl food?
Bowl food. What's that going to be like? Maggots and leaves in a bowl.
Anything in a bowl.
I'm sure it'll be very tasty. At 10:45, the film ends, and you go, what? It was all along? What? Yeah.
Quite good, actually,
yeah,
The Village.
Yeah, it's quite good, The Village. So 10:45, the film ends. Competition winners are then free to tour the London Dungeon at their own leisure. And presumably it's closed off to the public at this point, is it? Because it's the most popular tourist attraction in London, if not the first, then the second. I was going to go into it last week, actually, but the queue was stretching round the corner into the station. Impossible to get into.
Wow. And you can have it all to yourself.
All to yourself, plus all the actors all done in blood and stuff. And then at 11:30 p.m, the evening ends. What a night.
That is... That's the
guaranteed
night of your life.
To scare your nipples right off.
Well, let's see if you can win that amazing prize by identifying.
Yeah, hang on a second.
What?
Can we say the word vagina on radio?
Well, you did
just
now.
Can
is that all right?
Well, as long as it's anatomically related and not
Yeah. Okay, because that is featured in one of the clips for crap commentary competition. Is that bad? It's a medical word.
Yeah, well, let's not make it into anything other than a medical word by dwelling on it in too weird a way.
Those things, I've got 3 clips. One of them has that word in it.
Okay, well, you've prepared people now,
All
think.
Right, okay. So let's have the jingle first for Crap Commentary Corner.
Recorded off of a DVD. Why don't you listen and see? You could win some crap for free. Can you tell and speak it? Anime movie or critique it? Go ahead, it's easy. You can use IMDb.
Now we just sort of talk over it. Sort of fades out.
Oh, okay.
It's a perky little number.
That is very perky. You see, what would
Thanks.
It be nice...
Mm.
That was brilliant, by the way.
It was, yes.
But would it be nice if you could have just left that music bubbling under as a bed?
Yeah. See? Well, I just thought it might clash with the commentary itself. But it does go on for a little while. Yeah. And it has a clean ending.
It does. No, I'm not quibbling with the jingle itself. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, it would have been even more amazing if we could have carried on talking over it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay, the telephone number, 0871 222 1049, to win that amazing special screening for you and nine friends of The Village at the London Dungeon, a free tour of the London Dungeon, all its various terrifying exhibits for your exclusive... Oh, how do I end this sentence? You know, perusal. So it's an amazing prize. Listen very carefully to this clip. You have to tell us what the movie is and what star is commentating over it. There's various people in this commentary.
Now, hang on a second, because I don't know where these clips are.
Well, they're just in here on a CD.
Okay.
Here we are. Sorry, failed to give them to Adam there. We'll stick them in. 0871 222 1049. It's going to be a lot of demand for this prize because it's one of the biggest, most exciting prizes in the history. You're of
keep
XFM.
Filling, man. Keep filling.
I'm doing well, aren't I?
Doing really well.
La 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 la.
Now you're doing badly.
I like fish fingers.
Okay, go here we now. Go.
It's the big news story.
What? What's going on?
That's not the. That's another jingle.
What track is it?
It is track 5.
See. This is why we don't show up in the rage jars. Here we go.
Scat off.
Scat off.
Go, Will. Big guns.
Did it sound anything like this? No, it sounded more like...
I think mine's better.
You probably...
Go again, Will. I think Lou won.
You know what? You're not actually that good, Will.
No, I heard him do it. I never said I was good.
You say boop a lot.
I know.
You
like
gotta say other things besides boop.
Ooh, I think I might know what that is.
Yeah, that was a scat off, a scat singing competition between the star of the film and a random famous man they got in as a joke.
Hey, that's good. I think I know what that might be.
0871 222 1049. Second clip, maybe, which is track 6.
Okay, here we go. Listen out.
Hello?
How are you doing?
What's up? I'm good. I'm a little surprised you're doing the commentary without me there.
You know, can we be honest? From the commentaries I've heard, it just seems like a little bit like a man's world. Like
I'm a little hurt.
The deeper voice resonates better against the movie.
Right. It's more a technical issue.
Bull crap. I know exactly what it is.
Look, Christina.
Oh. You know?
Oh, they made her cry. By freezing her out of the commentary.
Yeah, I don't think they really did.
Really?
I think that was a little joke.
There's one more clip. Do you want to hear the last clip? This is the controversial one.
Track 7. Okay, so if you're offended by anatomical references, please put your fingers in your ears now.
I mean, you've picked this up. This is the unrated version. Hopefully you knew what you were in for.
Yeah, hopefully you are not shocked. If you are, I'm going to shock you even more by saying, unshaven whale's vagina.
How's that? How's that fit?
Which
I'm gonna
was used in the movie, you'll find later.
Now, I think we even referred to this commentary last week or the week before.
Did we?
Yeah, possibly, because I watched it a couple of weeks ago. It's pretty funny. It's not... It's still a bit meandering, and I can't believe you actually sat through the whole thing.
0871 222 1049. If you know what film that was from and the star of the film who was talking in that commentary, you could win that amazing private evening at the London Dungeon with a sneak preview, what, of the DVD of The Village. Can you have a sneak preview of a DVD? Don't know. Anyway.
We'll be back with the answer to Crap Commentary Corner this week after this one from Spoon. That's called Advanced Cassette, and that's by a fantastic band called Spoon. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We are now going to take a call after we've reminded you of our competition this week. It's Crap Commentary Corner, and the competition is to identify who is speaking in this clip and what movie they are speaking about.
Yes.
So here's a reminder. Oh, I keep doing that wrong stuff.
What's wrong with your fingers today?
Well, it's just all the things and
there's a lot on my CD today,
you know,
listeners. Bear with us.
Here we go.
Hello?
How are you doing? What's up?
I'm good. I'm a little surprised you're doing the commentary without me there.
You know, can we be honest? From the commentaries I've heard, it just seems like a little bit like a man's world. Like
I'm a little hurt.
The deeper voice resonates better against the movie.
Right. It's more a technical issue.
Bull crap. I know exactly what it is.
Look, Christina.
You know?
Oh, they made her cry. So we've got Ed on line one. Hello, Ed.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How you guys doing?
Very well. What's your guess, then, for this week's Crap Commentary Competition?
I think the movie is Anchorman, and the star of that is Will Ferrell.
Ooh, let's find out if you're right.
Got it right.
Using a jingle, I told you that you were correct.
Brilliant. How do you feel, Ed? How do you feel?
I'm moved by the jingle.
Moved by the jingle. And do you feel excited? I mean, you realise what you've won. Do you realise what you've won?
I feel, yes. I'm going to be scared out of my brain.
Do you have 9 friends?
I think so.
Yeah. And is this the kind of thing they'd enjoy? Are your friends a bit mature and sarky and cynical? Are you going to laugh at the exhibits in the London Dungeon?
I haven't seen this one yet. I've seen a few of his other films, but I know it has a nice twist ending. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll love it.
How old are you, Ed, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 24.
24? So you probably know girls and stuff like that. You could get girls, man, and you could go along and you could kiss some of them, and it could be like a kind of party.
It could be.
I'm jealous.
Ed, have you been to the London Dungeon before?
Not for a long time. Not since I was about 13 years old.
Oh, man, you're going to love it. And you know you get to ride on their boat?
Is there like a little underground flume or something?
Something like that. But basically, part of your prize is the Judgment Day activity. We were asking before you came on the line exactly what that was. We've had a text from someone called Andrea. She says, I have done the Judgment Day activity. They accuse you of stuff. Then you go on the boat ride and they shoot you in the head. So I don't know whether that's a good idea.
All that to look forward to, Ed. Thank you very much indeed for phoning in, and congratulations on getting that absolutely right. Have a good time at the London Dungeon. And, you know, give us a call. Let us know how it went. Let us know what your Judgment Day activity was. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. It's the Kaiser Chiefs.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. You see, you can take the Lord's name in vain, but you can't talk about Wacko Jacko, can you?
No, can't talk about Wacko Jacko. That was for Robin. Good choice, Robin.
Yeah. Adam and Joe here on XFM. And I see that, actually, we were talking about Look Around You, the new series of Look Around You, which is no longer a little 10-minute show.
It's half-hour shows.
It's now half-an-hour show, and it's more directly a kind of piss take of Tomorrow's World, and spoofing that kind of weird, clunky type of show that you used to get in the early 80s. And I see that Peter Serafinowicz and Robert Popper are on Jimmy Carr and Ian Morris's show tomorrow on XFM. You can catch that from 10 a.m.
You know, another great series starting next week is Boot Camp. Series 2 of Boot Camp.
That's right. Yeah, you were obsessed by that before.
Yeah, were you not obsessed by it?
I liked it. I got into it, yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. That starts on Tuesday, so it's a great week for telly.
And, of course, speaking of Jimmy Carr, there's Channel 4's big new entertainment show on Friday night, which is called The Friday Night Project. You've probably seen some of the trails.
Does that start this Friday?
It starts next Friday coming up, yeah. And it says in the Guardian Guide, could this be another stab at creating a wacky TFI zoo TV show? Yes, is the answer. Jimmy Carr, Rob Rouse, who's a very funny comedian, Sharon Horgan, who I don't know much about, and Lucy Montgomery, who I also am ignorant of, are joined by guest host Vinnie Jones, going to the dogs, Abby Titmus with a mystery sex tape challenge, and Charlie from Busted, showing everyone how totally indie he really is with his new band, Fight Star.
Crikey, they're really throwing everything they can at that one.
Why are they starting with Vinny?
Well, Vinny's brilliant. Didn't you see him on the Marion and Jeff Chat Show, whatever it's called, the Keith Barrett Show, last night?
No, you know, I seldom catch that show. Was it good?
Oh, no. No.
So you were being ironic when you said that Vinny was brilliant.
Yeah, of course I was.
Oh.
He's awful.
It's dreadful. But anyway, the Friday Night Project should be interesting, and Jimmy Carr's always good, and Rob Rouse is a very funny comedian, so there's lots of good things to be said for that, and I'll certainly be checking it out.
Question for you, Adam Buxton, and listeners. What is the worst non-human family in an advert?
That sounds interesting, let's talk about it, let's start talking now.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'd like to offer you some choices.
Go on, then.
The fabric softener family, who are made from stitched-up clothes.
Good reference.
I believe it's Comfort.
Yeah.
And they sort of hang each other on the line and snog and do things that families do, but they look as if they're made from sort of fluorescent patches of old flesh.
Yes.
But actually they're stitched together from bits of material.
And they're stitched in such a way that their faces just look really pathetic and slappable.
And they're not even stitched. I think they're computer-generated. So you don't even have the feel that someone's actually knitted them together lovingly.
Oh, I thought they were stop motion. I don't know.
They make me feel ill.
I agree with you.
Okay, family number two, the PG Tips plasticine birds.
Oh, okay.
Who replaced the monkeys or whatever they had before.
The
Aardman, yeah.
Yeah.
A family of birds.
I don't mind the
you don't mind them?
PG Tips family.
What about And this, I think, is the worst advert, so-called family. And all these adverts are basically trying to do a riff on The Simpsons, really. Create a lovable, non-human family. The Dolmio Italian puppet family.
Well, we've talked about the Dolmio family
when
before.
When they are the Dolmio, they...
they are horrible.
They're terrible.
They're frightening. Because, oh, yeah, they're absolutely awful. Because they're not only are they quite annoyingly badly animated, they are just this grotesque caricature of Italian people.
Mm.
And, yes, I want to roll them into a big ball and throw them in the bin.
Yeah. And the other really bad advert family on telly, the BBC had going for a while to advertise their Freeview boxes. They were a family of people with potato heads. Do you remember them at all? Lila remembers those. That's my top four most annoying non-human families in adverts.
That's very, very good top four. Maybe your listeners would like to send in their own top four in a similar vein. You can email us at adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk. That's Adam, A-N-D, rather than an ampersand.
And I think I got them all. Are there any others?
I don't know. I can't think. I'm no good at just thinking.
Okay.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM. Here is Fidar. That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sounding a little bit bored and tired there, don't you think?
Who, the Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
Hey, we're just relaxing on a lovely day.
Is it one of those, you know, sometimes bands release sort of sleeper singles just to fill in between their next big corker?
No, that was from their big album, By the Way.
There you go.
Yeah, the Californian Quartet's eighth album. Eight albums of music by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. What are you looking worried about there, Joe?
No, I was just going to say we've been discussing inanimate advert families. We've got a top five worst inanimate advert families. Now, a lot of people have texted and emailed suggesting the post office ants.
I've got nothing against the
post
office ants.
You see, I quite like the post office ants as well, especially when they have a chase in their remote-controlled cars, because I think it's a very well-directed chase with little remote-controlled cars.
It occurred to me when I was watching one of those ads the other day that I love ants in any form.
Really?
I love ants, and especially when they're animated. I love the film Ants.
Do you?
For example, I rate the film Ants over the film Bug's Life.
Well,
and
that's controversial.
I've had quite a few arguments with people about that.
Another suggestion is the Charming Bears. The bears what wipe their bums on telly.
Don't mind the Charming Bears.
I don't like to see animals use toilet paper. I just think it's wrong.
Well, the weird thing about the Charming Bears is that whole conceit is based on the, you know, the phrase, you know, a bear
poos in the woods.
Poos in the woods, yeah. So it's based on kind of an expletive-heavy phrase. Well, it's got one expletive in it.
Yeah.
And out of that, you've got this cute bear family going out and doing bear tods.
Mm. I just think it's wrong for a bear to sort of use the loo in any sort of way.
Why? He doesn't want to get, like, fur clogged up with dingleberries and stuff.
His tongue.
His tongue?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's what animals do.
How long do you think his tongue is?
Well, it doesn't, you know, he can bend over.
We should move on.
Yeah, okay. So there we go. So, Adam, you were asking me about Sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
Big new movie.
Ooh, new movie?
Yeah, big new movie.
Big new movie.
Scooping all the awards in America. Sideways is about two middle-aged blokes that go off on a sort of saucy weekend, the weekend before one of them's getting married. And they're wine lovers, and they drink a lot of wine, and they have sort of dalliances with ladies. And it's basically very influenced by With Nail and I.
Is it?
It's made by the guy that did Election and About Schmidt, Alexander Payne. And he's a big fan of With Nell and I. And it's based on a novel. And the guy that wrote the novel was a big fan of With Nell and I. So it's a weird sort of American middle-aged take on With Nell and I.
What's an interesting fact?
Thank you. But the one thing... So I went to see Sideways.
Yeah.
And the one thing I found a little bit, you know, tricky about it was this business of the wine metaphor going through the whole film. Because they've obviously used wine as a metaphor for life. So, for instance, there's a scene where the grumpy one... what's the actor called? Paul Giacometti.
Giamatti.
Giamatti.
He was in American Splendor.
There you go, yeah. He's sort of Hollywood's trendy, grumpy. He's sort of the Steve Buscemi of the new millennium.
Yeah, I know the guy you mean.
So his character is kind of a vulnerable, sensitive, needy, grumpy, insular guy that needs special care and is secretly brilliant. And he sits down sits down and chats up this woman, and she says to her to him, "Why do you like Pinot so much?" Pinot wine, obviously. And he goes, "Well, it's a difficult grape. It's vulnerable, sensitive. It only grows in the most particular of places. It needs special care, considered nurturing. But when it finds a place it can flourish, someone who understands its peculiarities, it's capable of producing the most wonderfully profound, most exquisite, most ancient flavours in the world."
Like him!
At which point, yeah, she should go, "What, you mean like you? The wine's very similar to you, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah." But she doesn't. She just goes, "Oh, that's beautiful."
Well, isn't it being said for comic effect, though, all that, to make it so specific?
Wait a second. She doesn't say that. So instead, he says to her, so what got you into wine? And she said, "I think it was when I realized that wine evolves, depending on the weather, where it grows, the amount of care it gets. Every bottle is alive. Every day it tastes different as it slowly, incontrovertibly matures into something rich and wonderful, then slowly fades." At which point he should say, "Wine's like people, isn't it? Well, wine's very similar to people, like you and me, we're like wine!"
Yeah, and you're going to get very excited when I pull my cork out.
Yeah, but they don't at any point.
He could have said.
Say that.
Well, but it's still a good film, though,
it's
right?
A great film, Sideways, yeah, I do recommend it.
And you're sure they're not just playing all those moments for ludicrous effect?
No.
Oh, okay. You know, we need a jingle for when we talk about movies, Joe.
We do. I don't know, I think we might be,
No, you can't get too jingle heavy.
I don't know.
Lots of jingles.
I don't know.
Jingles.
I hope you have a meeting after the show about the jingles.
Jingles.
Listeners, more jingles? Maybe? Less jingles? What do you think about our jingle current jingle status?
Don't ask the listeners. They'll just email us that we should kill ourselves or something. Right now, I've got a track for you. This is a free play, and it's Weezer, and it's from their first album, and it's a song I love called Holiday. Oh, I love it, Joe. I love it, because it reminds me of holidays. Because of the name of the song. And I thought it might be nice to play today because it's a really filthy January
day. Oh, it's a crap day. End of the world
day. So hope this cheers you up a bit. Here's Weezer.
There we go. That was The Hounds of Love by The Future Heads.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a cover of the Kate Bush classic, of course. And I believe the Future Heads are playing at the NME Awards. No, they're playing the NME Awards tour alongside the Killers, the Kaiser Chiefs Block Party in February. And that's culminating with a show at the Brixton Academy on Wednesday, February the 9th. That'll be really good. I wonder if they're going to be at the NME Brat Awards. You know, Simon Pegg and Frosty.
Are hosting that, are they?
Are hosting,
yeah. We were asked to be on the panel for that, weren't we?
Were we?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
So listen, I've got a question.
Go on then.
How often do you open a magazine and read its reviews and get amazingly incensed about a review, say a bad review of something that you love? Does that happen to you a lot?
Yeah, and you know, what I generally do is avoid buying those magazines until it's got to the stage that I only really buy a couple of mags now.
Well, that must be all magazines, because this week I opened Empire magazine.
Well,
I was
what?
Having quite a tough morning.
Yeah.
I get Empire sent me the post, opened it up, and I read their review for The Life Aquatic, which is one of my favourite films of the year so far, the Wes Anderson film, Life Aquatic, with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
3 out of 5. I was so angry.
Oh.
I was incensed. I really was. I thought, what? I thought, Empire, you callow, gutless tossers.
Oh.
I thought. Because, I don't know.
You were incensed.
I was so incensed. Do you know what I did? What? I looked at their contents page. And I noticed the number of the reviews editor was published in the magazine. That's an invitation to call him up and berate him.
What did you really call
him
up?
Well, I thought, I'm going to call him up. I'm going to give this idiot a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
Because he's missed it. He's completely missed it. Life Aquatic is a flawed film. It's not a perfect film, but most of it is incredible. Some of it's incredible. And you can't tell hundreds and thousands of readers that it's a 3 out of 5. And they shouldn't bother. And then give Alexander 4 out of 5. Give Closer, which is the biggest load of old rubbish I've ever seen, 4 out of 5. Give Lemony Snicket, which is the crappest bit of characterless dross, 4 out of 5.
But Joe,
give Ray
Which is...
On a roll.
What did you... Did you see Ray?
I have seen Ray,
What
yeah.
did you think of Ray? Out of five?
I'd give it three.
They gave it four. Jackass the movie, out of five, what would you give it?
Jackass the movie, I'd give that four.
They gave it four. Attack of the Clones, what would you give it?
I'd give that two.
Five, they gave it.
Five?
Yeah, and they give The Life Aquatic three. Empire, you're not a magazine, you're a catalogue.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Yes. You know, I actually rather like Empire, but it just seems a bit spineless as a magazine at the moment.
But what, Joe, man, that's the thing with the critical landscape in the modern world. It's totally uneven. It's ludicrous. What they should do is what Brian Eno suggests in his diaries, is print at the bottom of every review their personal top five best and
so
worst.
So you can tell how stupid they are.
Well, so you've got some way of judging it. It's like, I mean, we shoot our mouths off on this show about all kinds of things in a very ill-informed way and make a lot of people very irritated about our opinions.
True. But you know what? There's an American video games magazine called Electronic Gaming Monthly, and they have three people review everything. Three little reviews instead of one big one.
Yeah.
That's quite a good technique. Three differences of opinion.
People just love reviewing things, and it's the internet age of, you know, the internet style of criticism is just completely random and useless these days. Word magazine, man. You should buy Word magazine.
Yeah, Word magazine is good. At least it's got lots of writing in it. There's only about three articles in Empire. The rest of it's huge pictures of Ashton Kutcher and adverts for ringtones.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But Life Aquatic's brilliant. That's just the point I want to get across. Life Aquatic.
When does it come out?
It's a flawed masterpiece. Couple of weeks.
I can't wait to see it.
Don't listen to people who just talk about the flaws and not the masterpiece aspect.
Like us, for example.
Yeah.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
That's very good. Spitting Games from Snow Patrol.
Well done, Snow Patrol.
Well
That's
done.
Very good.
4 out of 5, I'd give that.
Hmm, 4 out of 5. Someone texted in angrily saying Ray deserves 10 out of 10.
Was that actually Ray
that
texting
could be
him
Ray
from
himself,
the grave?
But, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Ray is just a performance with no real film around it. It's an amazing performance from Jamie Foxx. Tour de force.
You know, the thing I think about biopics generally is they're always just lies. They're never right. So they're not really useful in terms of teaching you about someone. And they're also always very cliched because, you know, we both like biopics a lot because they always fall into the fantastic trap of having, you know, historicising moments, dramatising moments that weren't, like, encapsulated in a couple of seconds. Like, there's a fantastic moment in Ray where someone goes, Ray, don't mix blues and gospel! No one's ever done that before! Like that, as if they're two chemicals, you know? And it's going to be an explosion.
A rock and roll explosion! Yeah, a rhythm and blues blast!
A fantastic moment in The Doors when he composes
Light My Fire.
Biopics are usually fantastically funny, but the problem with Ray is it's not that funny.
I know, they should work that. Either they should go completely mental on the cliches, or they should just do mad conjecture about their
lives.
You know what
I
mean? Like the Hours and the Times, did you ever see that? That was about a meeting between
John Lennon
and Brian Epstein.
And their sort of homosexual relationship.
Yeah, but pure conjecture, but it was really interesting.
It is brilliant,
amazing. Or, classic moment in the Beach Boys biopic, I think it's called Summer Dreams, where they're stood out and someone says, hey, how you doing? Yeah, pretty good. You know, I've been having a lot of fun, but soon my daddy's going to take my T-Bird away. And Brian Wilson goes, wait, let's get into the studio right now.
That's how it happened, man. There are a couple of good scenes in Ray. There's a good scene in Ray. Ray sort of reminds you that in the old days, when bands recorded records, the whole band would go into a room, and they'd go 1, 2, 3, and then they'd play it. And at the end, they'd have finished the whole record. And that the quality of a record depended on the atmosphere in the room in a 3-minute period, which probably doesn't happen anymore.
Some bands still do it like that, more and more. Yeah?
Well, good. I think that's a good thing.
Is that it? That was your point. We've got Ditties in the Dock coming up very shortly, and it's a jack-off.
It's a Michael Jackson playoff, because, of course, next week marks the official end of his career, so we decided we'd get a Michael Jackson record out.
Did you not read the memo?
I did read the memo. We're basically not allowed to talk about Jacko at all.
Dear all, says the memo, as I'm sure you know, it's the start of the Michael Jackson trial this Monday, a massive story. Even though this is happening in America, it's important that you are clear that our regulatory experts...
Regulator expects us...
Sorry. I can't even read.
...to treat this court case in the same way as any trial happening here. We're fair and balanced. He did it. He didn't do it.
To this end, please do not make ad hoc comments about the Jacko trial.
Oh, ad hoc.
Oh,
Joe Hock.
So we're going to have to... It's going to be tough to get through Ditters in the Dock without making any Jacko jokes.
Yeah, especially ad hoc Jacko jokes.
Yeah.
It's crikey. Weird, though, don't you think? I don't know if this counts. I hope this is not an ad hoc Jacko comment. But it's weird that it's absolutely not a problem to play Michael Jackson music. Somehow the music transcends any rubbish that's going on in his life in a way that Gary Glitter music doesn't, really.
Yes.
About the Glitter Man.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's a nice thing, I think. Anyway, we'll be back very shortly with Ditties in the Dark, and here's the Doors. No, it's not the Doors. It's the Cars.
I knew it was... Pull yourself together,
Boston. I knew it was some object or item. Right, we better be quick with this because we've only got 15 minutes. It's time for Ditties in the Dock. Joe and I are battling it out for who gets to play the final song of our show here on XFM. And today it's a battle between two Michael Jackson classics. Joe, do you want to go first or shall I?
Why not? I'll go first. I think I'll go first.
Okay, go first.
Okay, well, it's obviously tricky picking a Michael Jackson track because they're all so fantastic. And it's hard to pick a sort of interesting and obscure one because there aren't any. So I've decided to choose The Girl Is Mine, his fantastic duet with Paul McCartney. If you don't remember it, it goes... it's a beautiful song, isn't it, Adam?
The girl is mine.
I don't understand the way you think, saying that she's yours, not mine. Like that.
Very nice.
And then it's got the fantastic spoken passage in the middle, of course. Michael, we're not going to fight about this, okay? Paul, I think I told you, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yeah, but that's exactly what's got you into trouble. Oh, steady. Anyway, so
did you not read the memo?
The girl, if you want to hear Michael Jackson with The Girl Is Mine, there's a wonderful song to sing along to. If you're with someone today, you can, you know, act it out between you. Otherwise, it'll just make you feel very happy. And maybe if you're involved in a violent struggle over a woman, it could clear things up. 0871-222-1049 to hear The Girl Is Mine. And it is verses. What's your choice, Ed?
Well, my choice is a stone classic. It's a floor filler. In all my years of DJing at parties, bar mitzvahs and weddings, I rely on this track to fill any floor, no matter how tough the crowd. It's I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. Do, 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 do. That's the way it goes. And it's an amazing song. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. I don't need to remind you too much about it. I Want You Back versus The Girl Is Mine. That's the choice today.
One more motivation. Everyone who calls, everyone who gets on air wins either a copy of The Village on DVD or Mark Rowland's fascinating book, Everything I Know I Learned from TV, which is a philosophy book with philosophy explained through popular television programs.
0871-222-1049. I Want You Back or The Girl Is Mine. That's all you have to vote for. I like that one. That's Crafty from New Order. That's a new song from the New Order combo.
Yeah. And now it is the final playoff of this week's Ditties in the Dock. It's a Michael Jackson off to commemorate the potential end of his career beginning next week. A last chance to play a Michael Jackson track. We've got five callers on the line. It is The Girl Is Mine versus I Want You Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go to Rory. Hello, Rory.
Hello.
How are you doing, Rory?
I'm fine, I'm dandy.
Well done, congratulations for getting through. You win either a copy of the philosophy book or The Village on DVD. Everyone's going to go for the DVD, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah? Come on, we must
have
some.
Both? There's not enough.
No, there's not enough to give them both. Someone's got to go for the philosophy book.
Is it just philosophy in there? A random bit.
Palmer, however, demurs. The execution of innocent children is, despite his flirtation with utilitarianism, apparently not his bag at all.
Come on, that sounds like good times in there.
That's a chapter all about 24, the TV series 24,
ooh,
and all the philosophical issues that it has in
it.
Rory, hello, are you still listening?
Yeah, just about.
So is it the DVD? You want, mate?
Well, I think I'll go for the book.
Ooh.
You're a clever one.
Classy.
There you go. Very good, Rory. And what are you voting for? Is it I Want You Back or The Girl Is Mine?
Well, I want you back.
Of course you do, because you know that it's going to make you start shaking your booty.
That's 1-0 to Buxton. Thanks, Rory. On line 2 is Trevor. Hello, Trevor.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Are you clever or stupid?
Tough one.
You're a chef. You are, well, you're clever, but you're very tired at the end of the day and you want to just relax with the DVD, right?
Yeah, the book sounds a bit boring.
Oh, the book's good, man. The book's great.
I'm going to nip the book.
The book may well be better than the film.
Probably got better ratings than the film anyway.
Yeah, so you want a copy of The Village?
Yeah, might as well.
There you go, you got it. And what are you voting for? Is it going to be I Want You Back or The Girl Is Mine?
The Girl Is Mine.
It's one all. Sorry, mate?
It just sounds odd.
Have you, do you know the song?
No, I haven't heard.
What?
It's quite a famous song.
Oh, it's a fantastic song.
It is good, I just heard it, queuing it up, because we don't,
you heard it.
We don't know,
Well, with what's going on, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's not talk about it. Thank you very much for calling, Trevor. That's one all between the two Jacko tracks. Kay is on line three. Hello, Kay.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Philosophy or sort of random historical rubbish for you?
I'll go for the book.
The book? Everyone's so clever.
It is a good book. Mark Rowland's Everything I Know I Learned from TV.
Yeah.
Subtitled?
Philosophy for the Unrepentant Couch Potato.
It's good stuff.
There you go. So you're getting that. And what are you voting for, Kay? Which Jacko Tracko?
I Want You Back.
Yeah,
wow, it's 2-1 for Buxton. Oh, that's an extraordinary result. Thanks for calling, Kay. We got Jason on line four. Hello, Jason.
Hello, mate.
What are you up to, Jason?
Just a bit of chopping out.
Bit of chopping out?
Are you killing people?
Are you chopping up your wife?
No, I'm chopping out a wolf.
A wolf. You're chopping up a wolf.
A wall.
A wolf.
Chopping out.
Oh, right.
For electrics.
Oh. Really?
Hey, that's...
Exciting stuff.
Are you an electrician or are you just randomly chopping?
No, I'm in my own house.
Oh, okay. And oh, do you know what you're doing, or are you going to kill yourself?
Of course I do.
He's okay. Just chopping until he gets a shock. It's what he does for kicks. Randomly stabbing his finger into the wall.
Chop shocks.
Jason, do you want a twisty film, or do you want a
interesting book?
Interesting book.
It's got to be the DVD.
Well done.
Have you seen The Village, Jason?
I haven't, no.
It's not bad. I'm not a big fan of M. Night Shyamalan, but The Village is probably one of the better ones. Although the twist is, as you would imagine... ludicrous. It's a good watch. So what are you going to vote for?
The Girl Is Mine.
Hooray! Oh. That brings it level pegging.
Makes it so exciting.
Thanks, Jason. Good luck with the electrics. That is 2-2. So this is the deciding vote. The final call from Steve is the deciding vote. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Are you conscious of the momentousness of your decision?
Yeah, it's very tense. I've been listening. It's very tense.
It is. Very, well, there's been a tense atmosphere throughout the whole show, not just in Ditties in the Dock. The sort of tension that comes when you don't know what you're going to say or what you're doing or how to operate the machinery.
What are you doing? What are you up to today, Steve?
I've just finished washing my car and hoovering it out. I've just taken it for the car wash.
Did you find anything surprising in your car when you cleaned it out? Anything you'd forgotten about?
Yeah.
Any money?
A lot of old tapes, bit of money, loads of rubbish on the floor, food. Yeah.
Well, I've got to clean out my car.
Looking a lot better.
Good, well done. Oh, that'll be a lovely drive the rest of the week.
Yeah, so
until you start spilling stuff on it again. So what would you like? Would you like the swillage or the Burke?
It'll have to go with the DVD, I think.
Well done, the DVD.
Yeah, I'll have to go with the DVD.
Is it a double disc? No, it isn't.
Sounds good.
It's got four deleted scenes.
Oh, amazing. Oh,
and it's got one of M. Night Shyamalan's home movies, which are always dreadful, but he always sticks one on every DVD.
That sounds good.
Yeah, really selling it there, man. Well done.
Thanks, mate.
So, let's see. What's this going to be? What are you going to vote for?
I'm going to have to go for The Girl Is Mine.
No!
I can't believe
Cornish
it!
Cornish wins!
I thought I had it nailed with I Want You Back.
Oh, people have heard it too much. It's overplayed. The Girl Is Mine is a forgotten classic. Well done, Steve. You're so clever and good-looking. Look at your legs. They're so strong.
Thanks for calling, Steve. Thanks to everyone for calling in. And thank you as well for all your messages, emails, texts.
She walks right in my dreams since I met her from the start.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. The only one who is special in her heart, the girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. I know she's mine. The doggone girl is mine. Not mine. Sending roses and your silly dreams, really just a waste of time, because she's mine. it down, 'cause I really feel it's time. You know she'd tell you I'm the one for her, 'cause she said I blow her mind. The girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. Don't waste your time.
Gonna fight about this, okay?
Paul, I think I told you I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I've heard it all before, Michael. She told me that I'm her forever lover, you know, don't you remember?
Well, after loving me, she said she couldn't love another.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said it. You keep dreaming.
I don't believe